there's no place like home for the holiday.
Goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits roam the night, terrors deny. Halloween's spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the
Welcome back, listeners, to another regular, normal, average episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy, and I believe that Jay Logsdon has just made a grave error.
What? No, this is just a normal, regular episode of Horror for the Holidays. We just watch a Christmas horror movie, and then we discuss it. Like, our normal format.
I deceived you, Jay. If you'll recall, you offended the spirit from beyond the grave by your constant transgressions against the wheel, and now you must do an extra week of the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
Oh shit. And here I am.
You're in not, it now.
Not having watched the movie at all. No, I did.
You'd best start believing in spooktaculars, Jay, because you're in one.
But yeah, so here we are. It's spooky season. It's what, September 30th?
Yep.
Tomorrow's October 1st. We're getting our groove on.
Got the spooky spider cider burning.
Yeah, we got that spooky spider cider candle. I got a Joe Bob cooler full of Halloween treats.
Oh God.
And we're getting into it. We're going to talk about 2022's Out There Halloween Megatape, a.k.a. WNUF sequel.
Yes.
Forgot to open my water.
Ah, spooky.
All right, so I have released... oh, yeah, we're going to deck the halls, but spooky.
Yes.
I have released August 20th, 2022, or July 29th, 2022.
You know what we're going to do, Jay? We're going to carve the jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh, that's a good name for it. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to do that next time. here, I'm going to make a quick note of that. All right, let's see here. Carve the jack-o'-lantern. All right. Next time. So we're going to carve the jack-o'-lantern. Written and directed by Chris LaMartina, who we sung the praises of multiple times on this show,
yes.
if you're a listener.
Excellent.
Both for WNUF Halloween Special, the original movie, and Two Front Teeth. And we will be seeing another Chris LaMartina film next year, at least one. We will be doing What Happens Next Will Scare You, which is like adjacent to the WNUF universe?
Yes, I believe it's set during the modern era where it's a bunch of like TikTokers, basically.
I was gonna say it's like a BuzzFeed crew or something
like that. They're trying to like compile, we need to make an article of like the 13 scariest things,
and the burgers show up in that, and that's how it's kind of a spin-off, or it's kind of like loosely, it's in the same universe. It's like I don't know, Agatha All Along to WNUF and Out There Halloween Megatapes. I don't know, Doctor Strange.
As to say, for a more current example, it's kind of like how Deadpool is now loosely connected to the Marvel Universe with Deadpool 3.
No, let's say for a more contemporary example, it's like Cheers and Frasier are WNUF and Out There Halloween Megatape.
Yeah.
And What Happens Next Will Scare You is kind of the Wings.
Yep. That'll capture the young people, Jay.
Oh, they'll understand what I'm talking about exactly. Also, Chris LaMartina made a movie called President's Day, which, I mean, we're kind of a holiday podcast, so we might have to tackle that one some President's Day.
Doing some holiday stuff over here.
And also, man, everything we see of Chris LaMartina just makes me want to see Call Girl of Cthulhu even more. So indeed, we might have to figure out something to do with that one.
Yes. Apparently everything he touches turns to gold, Jay.
We have our Ricky Lake style character as Melissa LaMartina. I'm sure there's no relation.
No, I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Who plays Ivy Sparks. We will see her again in A Corpse for Christmas.
Yeah.
What Happens Next Will Scare You, and Call Girl of Cthulhu.
Hmm.
Now,
Jay. Be nice.
Oh, that was great. Ted Geohagen plays Perry Trenchard, who wrote and directed Brooklyn 45, which I think takes place on like December 27th.
Hmm.
So I think we might be able to find an excuse to watch Brooklyn 45 sometime for the podcast.
That's pretty close.
That's like right kind of in our remit. So I think we're okay. And it looks awesome. I've not seen it, but the trailer looked really cool. Leanna Chamish resumes her role as Deborah Merritt. And I believe we see Richard Cutting return as Gavin Gordon, although the IMDb for this one is a little weird.
Yeah, I was having trouble kind of reading it.
And it's just, it's not as in-depth as the WNUF one is. The WNUF one was very much like, here's all the people involved, and here's all the movies we were in, and here's the people who directed these commercials and stuff like that. And this one's, I don't know if it's down to COVID or what, but there's fewer people involved, certainly. Sean Jones returns as Phil of Phil's Carpet Warehouse. Nicolette Lefay, I believe, is Veronica Stanzi. So those are kind of our returning characters. I think also I assume the guy who plays Robert Dandridge is the same guy.
It looks like it, yeah.
George Stover, who was Dr. Bloodwrench in the original, is Reed Richmond, who is a beloved B-movie character actor. And I would assume Reed Richmond maybe played Dr. Bloodwrench if in the WNUF universe. I'm sure Reed Richmond is, like, Dr. Bloodwrench is a Reed Richmond character based off of just kind of what we've seen. Michael Verratti, who is Mikhail V. Arty, I don't recognize that name from the movie, wrote one of the segments for Deathcember, so that was just something worth pointing out. And then some guy who loves Chud 2, Bud the Chud, named Mike Lombardo, did makeup for Blood Gavel and the skeletons in the anti-pot ad.
You know, I'm glad there's somebody out there that gives that movie some love, Jay, because I've heard it's like universally considered an awful film.
Now, I've heard Mike Lombardo, he will fight anybody who speaks badly about Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Well, it's good to know that there's a champion for movies like that out there somewhere.
He loves Chud 2, Bud the Chud. I think he loves Ghoulies Go to College.
Ah, okay.
We should ask him next time we talk to him how he feels about Ghoulies Go to College. filmed in Baltimore just like the first one. Where to Watch? Not many places.
No.
Currently, I think we looked right beforehand. It's not even for sale yet currently.
Because I believe you bought your copy directly from Chris LaMartina, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's no longer available. We think since TerrorVision is doing a collector's edition like launch of it, they did that, starting 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Once that's done, we believe they're going to put out a standalone Blu-ray you can buy.
Yeah, that's kind of what we read and our understanding. So if you do want to watch it, you might have to wait a couple weeks, but you should be able to get a copy of it.
Yes, you should be able to get it in time for Halloween.
Previous experience with the movie?
You telling me it existed last year after we watched WNUF?
I mean, exactly. I think we finished watching WNUF, and I went out to Chris LaMartina's website and ordered mega tape. Like, I was just like, nope, we're gonna watch this. I need it.
How could you not after WNUF?
Oh man, no, exactly. Like, I was sitting there, and I'm just like, nope, I gotta have this. anything else, or do you wanna dive right in?
All I need to say, Jay, is we have a sponsor for this episode, actually.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, Jeans Warehouse, Jay. If you've got a pulse, you love denim.
Get them and denim. I believe it was Randall's.
Was it?
I think that was the name of the company.
Randall's Jeans Warehouse.
We start with a almost like production company logo, because this came from Trader Tony's Tape Dungeon. That's kind of the whole conceit of this, is that it's a hidden...
Yes.
Like lost, you know, kind of like WNUF. It's kind of like a lost broadcast kind of analog horror thing.
Apparently, Trader Tony collects rare tapes, so that's why he has access to this stuff.
Also, I believe it will be on the TerrorVision DVD. On the regular DVD, there's one of the bonus features is a episode of the Purple Stuff podcast based in the WNUF universe.
Okay.
So they're doing their classic, like, watching through an old videotape and talking about the commercials, but they're talking about all the fake commercials in WNUF.
Mm.
Well, or an Out There Halloween megatape, I guess. They're talking about this movie, not the last movie.
Apparently, Jay, it was sold only via Trader Tony's mail order catalog in the 90s.
We get the end of an episode of Mega Martian Fighter Force, where Excalibur shows up, but he's super huge because the, I don't know, Dr. Osborn's Giganto Ray.
His Giganto Ray must be working, Jay.
And so the Mega Martian Fighter Force has to, like, I think has to probably summon their Megazords or
something like that.
And we get a to be continued.
Ah, damn.
Ad break for Dr. Pizza's frozen or Dr. Pizza's microwave pies.
Yes.
A frozen pizza company and cutie cute stuffed animals. And I just enjoyed that they had names like Spike, Sprinkles, and Steven.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Dr. Pizza ad is so good, too. That's one of the best ones.
That was one of the ones that stood out in my mind as the best.
We come into an episode of the Ivy Sparks show. Ivy is dressed like Cleopatra to introduce the Ivy Sparks Halloween Spooktacular.
I think we got ripped off, Jay.
We got ripped off in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
This episode she's calling Aliens, Vamps, and Phantom Tramps. Ivy's, like we said, she's kind of a Ricky Lake, Jerry Springer style character. She's going to interview the vampire to kick it off, and we're introduced to like the whole audience. It's a whole bunch of people dressed in Halloween costumes.
Oh my god,
you got a guy dressed like a clown.
It's the perfect audience,
dude. you have two people wearing like Starfleet uniforms.
Yep.
And then her Steve Wilkos style like security guard is dressed as like a bushel of grapes.
He's grapes, Jay. He's grapes.
And then she's like, I love a man in purple. and you know, she's like, up next, we're going to interview a vampire, but first an ad break. So we go to an ad break. We get a ad for CF roller skates by Usna Toys, I assume is a reference to Brian Usna. And with tags like, it's a real CF and not like those posers and it's go time.
Exactly.
And then we get the return of Phil's Carpet Warehouse for his out-of-this-world savings at the Cosmic Clearance Sale.
Mm-hmm.
We get a global warming wrap.
Yep. Gotta have that.
And then Rude Awakening cologne and perfume, which was very, like, grunge-esque. And then we get a ad for The Giggle Zone, a two-hour block from 5 to 7, which locally makes me think of when Fox used to show, like, 2 hours or an hour. Two episodes of The Simpsons, and then, like, two episodes of Seinfeld.
Yep.
And then, you know, they started changing what those things were, and then they cut the first hour out. Now I think it's, like, one episode of Big Bang Theory and one episode of Two and a Half Men, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to watch those. But the Giggle Zone features on WNUF, the shows are Hold Your Horses, Cat's Pajamas, Table for Three, and Kicking It with Lefty.
Yep.
All great names.
Yes.
We come back to Ivy Sparks. We're introduced to Stefan the Vampire, who's a night manager at a local convenience store, and the lead singer of the band Immortal Dagger.
Oh.
Stefan comes on, gets insulted by one of the audience members. Ivy says her famous catchphrase,
"Be nice."
Be nice. And then Stefan's cousin Ted comes out and wants him to stop being a freak, to which he's then told to be nice.
Yep.
Ted is going to get Stefan a mainstream makeover, and then Stefan gets hauled away by the security guard.
Yep.
And then we go to a commercial, and it does one of those, like, just like on Jerry Springer, and I assume on Ricky Lake, where it'd be like, have you had such and such and such and such?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, has violent media turned your child into a delinquent? Call 1-800-CALL-IVY. We cut to an ad break for Super Duper Water Shooter from Boomstick.
Super Duper Water Shooter.
WNUF Halloween for the Bogies tonight at 9 p.m., which I love the name Halloween. I thought that was really good.
That is good.
And the Bogies is a Gremlins, Ghoulies.
Something along that line. Yeah,
critters kind of thing. But they're little monsters at a mini golf course, which that's why they're the Bogies.
Exactly.
We get Randall's jean warehouse, get 'em in denim, and all jeans are half off, and then changing the world two legs at a time.
Yep.
PSA for National Organization for Preventing Exploitation. It's like about Stranger Danger.
Yep.
And then we get our ad for Out There, which is like a oh, what would you call it? Like an unsolved mysteries?
Yes, it's like a this report at 9 type thing mixed with like a Dateline or like an unsolved mysteries type thing.
And, but everything's like kind of supernatural. And so it's like an interview with like a Nazi werewolf called Sieg Howell. And then he's like, is he a regular monster or is he all monsters? Something like that. Yeah. We get the blind sculptor with precognition powers and then the devil cat of Davenport, Iowa. Ugh. And the title of that segment is Demonic Possession.
Yep.
And I was, you and me popped for the devil cat of Davenport, Iowa. I was going to say,
if there's ever going to be a place with a devil cat, it would definitely be Davenport, Iowa.
We cut back to Ivy. The niece of the Burgers from WNUF1, Zoe Martin, believes that they were abducted by aliens. Mm. In this segment, we kind of learn that Veronica Stanzi survived the first one and has turned into a big, like, kind of mainstream success. She has, I think, like a nationally syndicated talk show. We will get a Veronica Stanzi ad at some point during the movie. But Zoe wrote a book about her aunt and uncle titled Family Scarelooms, to which Ivy goes, is that a pun? Zoe sits there and she's like, yeah, it's scarelooms instead of heirlooms.
Yeah. Oh, and then she acts exasperated like she would explain it to her.
And then we get a surprise guest dressed as the Grim Reaper, Perry Trenchard, who shows up, and he's a famous skeptic and the host of a show called You're Lying. And basically he's like, I watched the broadcast. The Burgers, Frank Stewart, and everyone else were obviously murdered. We see a guy with an axe, which we do. And then Zoe tries to strangle Perry live on set as the entire crowd starts chanting, be nice, be nice.
And then, of course, the grapes come out to break it up.
And then we go to a commercial break. And we get a, are you extremely overweight and dating someone twice your age? 1-800-CALL-IVY.
Well, I'm one of those things.
You and me both, buddy. ad break. Jarvis Pest Control. This one, one of the 7 locations in the tri-state area is Snowminton.
Yes.
I paused it and I was like, wait. Because I like looked and I was like, did that say Snowminton? So I rewound it and paused it. I'm sure enough it did.
Excellent.
Which I thought Jack Frost exists in the same universe as WNUF.
I would believe it. I would totally believe it.
We get WNUF Halloween Blood Gavel 3, the final verdict, which is like a Freddy Judge type character. We get King's Trucking School.
Oh my God, King's Trucking School.
Where it's like there's a guy who like hits like trucker has 7 kids and he's like, I love the freedom of being an over the road trucker.
Yep.
And then there's like a lady and it says mother / trucker.
Yeah.
And then the last one is it's this guy, he's like clearly reading a script. He's like, I love the benefits of over the road trucking.
Yep. Kings help me get my license quick and easy.
We get Miss Zarabeth, a TV psychic. And then we get a PSA about AIDS.
Hold on, Jay. I'm sensing that you would tune in.
I loved that one. I also loved the, like, should we mortgage our home to invest in the stock market? She's like, signs point to yes.
Oh, my God.
Back to Ivy. We get a segment called Booty Call. Heidi May's husband is an over-the-road truck driver. Probably got his license at King's Trucking School. 7 kids,
yeah.
So she bought a Ouija board and started an affair with a ghost named Margaret Ann.
Apparently she's pretty good.
We get a scene during the booty call segment with the planchette spelling out S-E-X.
Yep.
Heidi May is going to tell her husband, Joe Mark, about the ghost Margaret Ann. They bring out a spirit board so Joe Mark can talk to Margaret Ann. Ivy asks what Margaret Ann wants, and then it spells out menage a trois. But the whole time he's like, manager Troy's. Is there any Troy's around here? And then Ivy's like, I think it's saying menage a trois. And he's like, I don't speak French. And she's like, have you ever heard of threesome? And he's like, oh
okay then.
And then we get this great scene of like of Heidi May and Joe Mark holding hands, like with like their right, you know, right and left. Mm-hmm. And then with their other hands, they're holding the planchette.
Yeah.
just a great little image. And then we get another 1-800-CALL-IVY about like getting pregnant with a family member. We want to host your baby shower.
Yep.
ad break for Sterling Life Insurance, which has a guy falling off of a roof right at the beginning of the ad. For Myak Bulgarian milk chocolate with nuts. Mm-hmm. You want a snack? Grab a Myak.
Exactly.
For Mikhail's Meow Meals pumpkin flavored. Lone Ranger payday loans. Which,
pause on that. If you know anything about animals, the last fucking thing you want to do is feed them pumpkin. Say goodbye to your house.
Pumpkin. one pumpkin. But then also, like, if you're thinking, like, pumpkin spice, like, you probably don't want to give them cinnamon or...
No. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
No, it's very funny.
It's the implication is it's going to make your cat shit all over your house.
We get primal fruit juice with wild flavors like cherry, strawberry, and banana.
Oh.
And then we get the pot smoking PSA, where the guy's like, we're not all gonna die, right, guys? And then a bunch of skeletons pop up. He's like, I'm just smoking pot. We're not all gonna die, right, guys? And then it's just a bunch of skeletons appear on screen all laughing.
Now I'm scared straight.
Back to Ivy. We get the makeover results of Stefan. He now has a blonde bowl cut.
He somehow looks worse than before.
A sweater tied over his shoulders and a blue polo. Stefan hates it, saying, this is awful and please stop filming me.
Yeah.
And then the show ends with a big dance party as the credits roll, and we get the Flying Groundhog production logo, which I think at one time was the name of Chris LaMartina's website, was Flying Groundhog.
Okay.
I don't think it is anymore, but I think it was at one point in time. We are now in 1996. I did not catch when the first... I assume it was like 94, 95.
What did that... I swear the date, like in the top right corner, I think it said 93.
Okay.
The record date.
So yeah, we kind of do like a jump. So we kind of saw what Ivy was. We see what Out There was. Mm-hmm. And now we're... And now we are in 1996. We get a... brief image of the lotto numbers for that night, for October 31st, 1996. Deborah Merritt and Gavin Gordon give a news update. Apparently, Phil of Phil's Carpet Warehouse has been charged with 6 counts of money laundering. we get a Halloween safety update where the cop is like, you know, last year, 2 trick-or-treaters got hit by a drunk driver. Don't get smashed like these 2 little pumpkins did.
Yep. Classic, as usual.
And we learn that Ivy's show has been canceled, and that she is now part of the part of Out There.
I say, but don't worry, Jay. She's totally happy with being out there.
We then cut to Tate Dawson. He's going to present all the evidence in Out There's alien expose, along with Ivy Sparks. And Reed Richmond is going to provide sci-fi trivia throughout the show. And so every time, like, they cut to an ad break, we get, like, a Reed Richmond piece of sci-fi. God.
Those are so good.
I didn't write all of them down, but they were all really good. You get, like, I guess now would probably be as good a time as any to talk about him. One, he does the Troy McClure, where he's like, you might know me from, and then he lists, like, 2 made-up movies.
Oh, my God. The made-up movies, too. We got to see some of these.
I think, oh, man, there's, like, I don't know. I can't even remember all of them, but there's like Mr. Something's Monster Mall is one of them. Like Mr. Morbid's Monster Mall.
Yes, I believe that was one of them.
But then, yeah, the trivia is like, did you know the Morlocks were named after H.G. Wells's neighbors who always stole their paper? That's a true fact.
Yep.
Or there's another one where he's like, did you know the movie, and it's like some sci-fi movie, was originally named Tractor Beam?
Yep.
And it's like a tractor getting sucked up in like an alien tractor beam.
Yeah.
That's a true fact.
True fact, Jay.
We get an ad break for Slim Fryer's chicken with the little clucker meal. You can get a... Yes,
these fucking little cluckers.
You can get a like a spooky Halloween cup, reusable cup. We get an ad for Achilles, which is very, like, Nike.
Yeah.
And it's just outrun your dreams. But it's like a very somber, like, black and white ad. And it's just, like, this, like, guy playing basketball, like, alone. And you just get, like, the squeak of his feet on the court. And then it just, like, pops up, Achilles, outrun your dreams. We get Governor Dandridge. He's now running for Senate.
Fucking Dandridge.
R.B. Harker's theme park is now a Scream park until the end of November. And then we get the collect call service 1-800-DIAL-ANY. Ivy is outside the annual Halloween Hootenanny at High Pike Farms. 100 years ago at a barn dance, an alien spacecraft crash landed like in a field, and that's like the start of alien activity in what, Twin Rivers? Is that what it's called?
Yes, I believe it is called Twin Rivers.
And so that was like kind of what started it 100 years ago, and then it's been happening ever since. And then we get like this local ufologist / historian who's like, every 10 years when the planets align around Halloween,
yeah,
we have increased alien activity.
Of course, Jay.
And you know, and tonight has never been more perfect for the aliens to appear. We are then introduced to Eunice Latshaw, the owner of High Pike Farms, who's like, you know, I didn't believe in the crop circles at first, mm-hmm. but there's no way, like, I thought it was my two idiot boys, but there's no way they could have done it. And then Ivy Sparks is like, can we get a picture of the crop circles? And you have three very normal looking crop circles, and then one crop circle that clearly looks like a vagina.
Yep.
And then she's like, and not to mention what they did to my pumpkins. And then Ivy Sparks
is, they've all been fucked, Jay.
Ivy Sparks is like, I think we have a picture of those pumpkins. And then there's holes drilled all of them with some kind of goop dripping out of the holes.
Yeah.
And then Ivy Sparks is like, I think those pumpkins have been probed.
Well, Jay, we knew it was going to happen eventually. Got ourselves a pumpkin fucker.
Tate sends us to a break, but not before we get our first Reed Richmond trivia. We get an anti-dandridge ad. We get Harold's premium toilet tissue. A mummy is reading Better Tombs and Gardens on the John. He reaches for the TP, but it's out. And he reaches for it, and it's out. Then he looks at his arm and sees his bandages, and he's like, oh, God. we get an ad for Coast Patrol, which is basically Baywatch.
Yes.
We get a USA-connected free internet CD with 10 hours of free internet.
Sweet.
We get Zygotte soda. And Corbin's toothpaste, which features like a Dracula. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I keep my fangs pearly white with Corbin's toothpaste.
Blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Tate Dawson talks about McCleary Air Force Base, which is located very close to where they're at. At River Hill Township, not Twin Rivers, River Hill.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, and it's kind of like, it's implied that it's like an Area 51 style place.
Yep.
And there was this anonymous chat room user named Bromley who spilled the beans about McCleary Air Force Base having alien bodies on site or something like that.
Oh my God.
Because you always believe those anonymous chat room users.
It's the fact, I love the way they presented him too, because it's so reminiscent of shit that goes on online now.
And even back then, yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's all the, I always think about, like, the, you know, you'd be, like, chatting with someone, and they'd be like, yeah, my uncle's Stone Cold Steve Austin, mm-hmm. and it'd be, you know, they'd bring him on, and it'd be like, here, I'll let you talk to him, and it's like, hey there, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, but they're just typing this out, yeah. Hey there, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, give me a hell yeah, and you're like, and then, you know, you go to school, and you're like, I talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin, no you didn't, no you didn't.
Sure he did, Jay, I'm sure Stone Cold was in the chat room.
A local dentist claimed to have an alien encounter, and then he talked to Frank Stewart about it, and Frank ran a report on that dentist and his alien encounter, which then caused all the people of River Hill Township,
yes,
to start calling in and like request to WNUF with their stories, and Frank Stewart was going to present on Halloween. He was going to present a whole alien special, and then their offices got raided by these mysterious like men in black.
Yes, Jay.
And that's what led Frank Stewart to doing a haunted house special, and that's the events of WNUF1. We go to an ad break. Phil is now hawking carpets while dressed as a prisoner.
His deals are criminal, Jay.
We get Razzo's Pizza zombie ad where it's a bunch of zombies like trying to break into Razzo's Pizza. And well, then it's like Razzo's Pizza. It's a no-brainer.
Yep, they succeed. And the commercials, the restaurant's filled with zombies eating pizza.
And at one point, the voiceover goes, it won't cost you an arm and a leg. And then the zombie's arm falls off, which is a great gag.
It is amazing. And it perfectly in line with TV commercials at the time.
Veronica Stanzi ad for... Sooner or Lather bubble bath.
Yeah.
And then we get an ad for confirm or deny, which is also kind of like a, I don't even know how to describe what that one is. I know the kind of show it was, but it's kind of like a beyond belief factor fiction kind of thing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I say that. I think that's closest.
And they're talking about Y2K, and they're talking about a hot dog stand owner who murdered a bunch of college kids. Yeah. I guess it's not really beyond belief, but it's kind of something. It's like,
I mean, it's
they
close.
Present things like kind of in a news format, but it's all kind of out there kind of thingy. It's kind of like out there.
But yeah, it's close to that format.
Ivy tells us more about Frank and his crew. Apparently the bodies were never found. We learned that during this little thing. Ivy then talks about a pizza delivery guy and a wedding videographer who had alien sightings. But the feed gets interrupted with a rogue broadcast with some kind of gray alien on the screen. And then like we get kind of like a black screen for a couple seconds. It plays another Reed Richmond Halloween trivia. And then we go straight to an ad break.
Now that's a true fact.
We get main man hair regrowth,
exactly,
which is it's M-A-N-E, which is great. And oh, and man. I love all the images of the guy. It's like a bald guy, and then like they just photoshopped his face on like a dude with like a full head of hair.
Why not, Jay? Why not?
We get Zarin's potato chips Halloween ad, and it's so it's like, this might look like a regular brand of Zarin's potato chips, but under the full moon it becomes barbecue ranch waffle chips.
Of course,
Zarin's, the official potato chip of Halloween. We get an ad for how to learn to do a new dance called La Golosa, which I assume is the Macarena. And then we get Kirsten Rice, who is running against Dandridge for Senate.
Of course. I mean, you really think Dandridge is going to run unopposed with his record, Jay?
I know. He raised taxes, but cut spending at all of the public schools.
Ah.
I read somewhere that if WNUF 3, let's not say if, let's say when WNUF 3 gets made, Dandridge will be running for president.
Excellent. I hope he wins.
Back on Alien Exposé, Ivy is interviewing the leader of the Temple of Divine Purity, a cult.
Yep.
Where a guy named Sheldon Berryman claims he was visited by an alien warning of the end of the world in 2 decades. He founded the church, this church, and changed his name to Ding.
Well, Jay, I don't know if they're a cult or not, but I've heard the Kool-Aid is to die for.
And they're all wearing like Goku outfits. They're wearing like the orange,
yes,
like the orange tunic with like the blue like shirt underneath.
We've all put on our gis.
The light cuts out briefly, and then Ding says they are coming. But Ivy's just like, it's just the lights, and the lights come back on. We go to another ad break. We get the Ace TV original movie, Gargasaur.
I want to see Gargasaur.
We get Rock It Extreme Soda. R-O-C-K-I-T.
Ah, of course, yes.
We get a attack ad aimed towards Kirsten Rice. We get Bouquet by Heaven Sent Perfume. And then we get an ad for Out There Season 3, which is going to feature things like the Haunted Scottish Castle and Psychic Dolphins and the entrance to Atlantis?
Question mark?
Oh, I also forgot to mention, so it's WNUF, but WNUF has clearly been bought out by like a parent company, because now it's like Ace TV is kind of the stuff you get.
Yes, it's very like, what was that network called on Channel 27 around here that had bought out everything?
Oh, geez.
What was that called? It's not Spike, although Spike did a similar thing.
Yeah.
What was that thing called? All right, continue. I'm going to see what that's called.
Tate Dawson has research experts examine the interrupted broadcast signal. And Derek McBride, a no ufologist, says that wasn't peaceful. That was a declaration of war based solely off the body language.
Yeah.
They then interview Bromley, which they've, you know, digitized his face and voice, so you can't tell who he is.
FX, that was the network.
Oh, isn't FX owned by Fox or whatever?
Yeah, it's like their premium brand for content they think is too extreme for Fox. So I'm guessing that's probably what Ace TV is based on.
Oh, no, I think it's more like if like your local, before you're like your local station was just a local station. So I'm thinking like maybe WGN.
And then
Ace TV is more like KDSM became Fox. Like WOI became NBC, like as an NBC, like they're now like an affiliate of a bigger thing, where WNUF used to be more like a WGN or a, I think what, KPIX out in New York.
Oh, yeah.
We get that interview with Bromley. They claim that the UFO activity is because alien corpses are on the McCleary Air Force Base.
Yes, and they have tracking chips in them, Jay.
Tracking chips embedded in their DNA.
Yep.
We get an ad break. We get an ad for Nail Biters, the best-selling book series. We get Forest Fire, a new blockbuster movie coming out. And Gag City Halloween Headquarters, very party city.
Yeah.
Essential Vibes Easy Listening CD, which is like the...
Now that's what I call music.
Or like the one that was like, Return to Innocence, hey, oh, I, oh, I, I. And you know the ad I'm talking about.
Yes, I remember that ad.
And then Noble Quest 4, Echo Realm, which is a video game series. I want to play Noble Quest 1 first.
I was going to say, yeah, you don't want to jump into 4.
Tate Dawson and Ivy Sparks are sending undercover people to investigate and infiltrate McCleary Air Force Base.
Yeah.
They're inside the base. They find an alien autopsy being performed and catch it on camera, which alerts the armed guards. And their undercover broadcast ends. A bright light then shoots across the sky above Tate Dawson. And Ding says, it is time. We go to another ad break. We get Take Home Twisters VHS, which made me really think of lots and lots of trains and lots and lots of planes. Just a bunch of home video, videos of tornadoes blowing over houses.
The animal tapes too that they used to hawk all the time.
We get the new Nomad or the new Ace show, Nomad, where it's like they killed his family, so now he's gonna kill all of them. Drug dealers, mafia kingpins, he's gonna travel across the country.
That's right, Jay. Nomad.
We get Mullen's light beer. Halloween ad, and it's like a Frankenstein style, like, I made Mullen's light beer. And then the Dr. Frankenstein type character says, I've got a hunch this is our ticket out of Transylvania. And then the Igor type character says, I've got a hunch too.
Yep.
And then you can also take part in the Mullen's light beer creep stakes to win a trip to Transylvania.
I wish I could win a creep stakes.
And then we get a ad for Disturbance Call, which looks very much like Cops. Bad boys, bad boys. The camera crew is live at the site of the crash, and we see a being emerge from the crash site. It makes its way towards the camera crew, and the signal gets interrupted. Ivy and the cult see another bright light in the sky, and the cult members all ingest something. Not a good idea.
Excellent idea.
The alien makes its way towards them and takes off its mask to reveal that it's Reed Richmond, and he wishes them a happy Halloween. Ivy says, it was just a prank, as the cult starts puking and dying on live TV. Tate Dawson tries to recover and wish people a happy Halloween as the credits start to roll, but you can tell he's like being told something in his earpiece, probably that the show is canceled.
Yeah, that they're going to jail.
We start an ad break, and then immediately cuts forward in time to an episode of Confirm or Deny, which we saw a clip of earlier. Recently talking about Ivy Tate and the other people are being held responsible for the mass suicide, for conspiracy, manslaughter, and that Out There season 3 was canceled. We then get a brief ad, for WNUF News, and they're like, you know, tonight we'll talk more about, the Meadowbridge Baptist Church, demolition and the uncovering of skeletal remains from the 1980s. And then the movie ends, and you assume that is Frank Stewart and the burger's bodies.
It's gotta be,
since people don't know they were killed because the bodies were never found, so they were buried under the Baptist church.
Yeah, I mean, that would make the most sense because there wouldn't be any scrutiny on the church itself.
Exactly. Well, anything you want to talk about before we get into our categories?
No. I was just kind of staying quiet over here because I know this is a hard one to summarize, so I didn't want to try to confuse people even more.
These are great, but yeah, these are very hard to piece by piece.
This really is something you just have to watch for yourself.
All right, well, let's you want to start with Halloween carols, our original idea, Halloween carols.
Yes, Jay, our completely original concept. Why not?
Favorite quotes that we have.
If you got a pulse, you love denim, Jay.
Get 'em and denim. A couple I had, I think they're all from the Ivy Sparks show, besides her famous catchphrase, be nice. Sir, do you believe vampires exist? Then there's an audience member dressed as a clown only during tax season.
I did that one too.
No need to book a ticket to Transylvania. We found a creep in Minnesota.
Ah, yeah. Lots of creeps up there, Jay. Lots of creeps.
And then an audience member dressed as a witch says to Stefan, vampires aren't supposed to have reflections. Is that why you look so dumb? To which audience and then or Ivy and then the audience repeats after her, be nice. Those are like the three big ones I had.
Well, I know everyone knows by now that I have a pulse and I love denim. Also, tell your parents you want Dr. Pizza. what did it say?
It's like four toppings, pepperoni, sausage, ham, and pineapple.
90 seconds in the microwave and the doctor is in. Love that one. I loved, obviously, Phil's Carpet Warehouse's commercials.
But always so good.
The one where he's in the jail cell background in the orange jumpsuit, and he's like, these deals are absolutely criminal.
Oh, no, it's even better than the orange jumpsuit. It's the black and white stripes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What was the, when their cameraman is, like, getting beat to death or shot inside the military base, and she's like, it seems the feed is cut out. We can't make anything out. All right, we'll have to go back to the other camera.
Now, like, because we know the whole thing was fake, and this was very much like an alien autopsy, like that live Fox thing. Mm. So, like, do we think the whole they never got into the Air Force base? Oh, it's no. All faked.
It's got to be fake, because that was my first. I was like, there's no way if that military base really was doing alien autopsies, you wouldn't be able to get within 100 feet of it.
That was my thought too. I'm like, this is real. Like, as soon as it started happening, I'm like, oh, this is a fun conceit. Yeah. But this is at that moment, I was like, I think this might be staged. Then again, you know, knowing that there was no real supernatural thing in WNUF 1,
right?
You're very much assuming there's no real supernatural thing
in this
in yes. WNUF 2,
right? No, and when the alien lands, I love that, because you could tell it's just a guy in the suit.
And then he just takes off his mask. It's me, Reed Richmond. Yeah. Happy Halloween.
God, speaking of Reed Richmond's facts, just anytime he comes up, pay attention, because his are really worth listening to.
No, he has some great lines, some great facts.
And his movies.
Let's move on to Halloween decorations, sets, costumes, etc. You know, our Christmas wrapping.
Well, this is the one. This is one where it's kind of hard to judge because everybody's dressed like the period. But like I said, no one's costumes really stood out because that wasn't really the focus this time. I mean, I noticed the Starfleet uniforms and stuff in the studio audience. I thought that was pretty cool. Her Cleopatra costume was pretty good.
No, that like I kind of agree with you. I went back and I looked. I was like, what did I say for WNUF1? I didn't listen, but I at least went back and looked at my notes. And it was, you know, I said, this looks very 80s, and this looks very 90s.
It does. Like I said, it does the job. I don't think, but just based on the, I mean, honestly, you wouldn't want costumes to stand out too much because you're trying to make this seem like a TV broadcast with real people. So you wouldn't want people dressed like insanely like they would be in a movie.
Right. No, exactly. Like they're all very cheap costumes.
It does the job. And like the sets, they look like TV sets because that's what they're supposed to look like. The outside shots for the standing in the field portion of the special seem pretty good. Like I liked the decorations you could see in the barn when she's outside the barn for the barn dance thing.
No, it artifacts itself very well, if that's what you call it. Like like, you know, it looks like it fits in, and then, like, it doesn't look, you know, I don't think it's anachronistic. Like, nothing stands out as being out of time.
It's a convincing reproduction. Even, like, the military uniforms and stuff they use during the base scenes are pretty close to the period. And, the VHS effect, it's not as heavy as the 80s one, but that's because by this time VCRs and stuff had improved, so it wouldn't have been.
I think you get more of that, like, color bleed from, like, the 90s, where, like, the colors will kind of, like, move on the screen a little bit.
But, yeah, no, they did a really good job recreating the time period. And so I suppose, I mean, that's pretty much what they set out to do. So you'd have to give the costumes and stuff a thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's costume sets. Like, it all looks great. It all looks fantastic. I mean, there's nothing else really you could say.
The commercial sets too.
Yep. Oh my gosh, what was I gonna say? I don't remember.
Well, everybody knows Jay Logsdon is a certified idiot.
Let's just move on. Let's move on to Halloween Spirit. How Halloween-y is the movie? How Halloween-y are the kills? Question mark.
Well, Jay, ritual suicide is very Halloween-y. I mean, like, you got it in all kinds of famous Halloween movies, like Ritual Suicide 1-5. No,
starring Reed Richmond.
Yeah. No, I think. I mean, it fits. It's pretty. It's spooky. I mean, like I said earlier, the sets and the setup or whatever for the whole alien encounter thing, it was a fairly spooky concept.
No, I love that you get kind of the alien autopsy kind of feel. I love that you get kind of the, you know, once again, the unsolved mysteries, kind of like the out there kind of setting. Like, it feels very much like watching TV in the 90s when Halloween was a much bigger deal than it feels like it's been until I think the last couple years.
Yes, it seems to be making a comeback. But yeah, I mean, you got her whole special at the beginning, helped the Halloween factor with everybody's costumes and like the whole is he a vampire, Jay?
I mean, so fake. Yes.
No, he's just ugly.
But no, I love that it just feels so incredibly much like,
yes,
you know, like Halloween used to.
Yes, it does. It did remind me of like the Halloween atmosphere when I was a kid.
And like you said, is making a comeback. Like, yes. I feel like in recent years, I think as like people our age have become kind of the buying power, in the world. Retailers and stuff are like, you know what, you know, man, those kids loved Halloween and we haven't done Halloween shit in like 20 years. Let's bring back all the Halloween shit.
Yep. Let's bring it back. Yeah. Plus the resurgence of the horror movie as a money-making vehicle, I think, has also helped that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, heck, you know, the rumors about Spirit Christmas, where they're gonna, you know, try to turn certain Spirit Halloweens into Spirit Christmas stores and sell kind of creepy, ginchy kind of Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is right up our alley. But
yes, of course. But yeah, overall, I'd say this movie has a very, I mean, it depends. I'll give it an asterisk, Jay. Your mileage may vary depending on when you grew up and how much you care about Halloween, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. But then again, if you're listening to this,
you probably do.
You probably do.
So, but yes, I would say it gives you that Halloween feeling for sure.
So let's do a burnt out jack-o'-lantern, brilliant jack-o'-lantern. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise. For me, my burnt out jack-o'-lantern, the thing I would fix is, as much as I love all the ads, and I think the ads are so much fun, and I think that's one of the exciting things about the WNUF movies, I would have liked a little bit more out there and a little bit less ads.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like we kind of kept going back to ads to get all these fun ads in, which they're all great.
Yes.
But I'm like, give me five minutes fewer of ads and 5 minutes more of out there spread out throughout the entire out there broadcast.
You want to do your brilliant, or you want me to do my burnout first?
I'll do my brilliant jack-o'-lantern. My brilliant jack-o'-lantern is, I love the lore that was built on in the first movie is being built on in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get stuff, you know, like I said, the thing about like Dandridge will be running for president if there's a third WNUF, you know, you still got Phil of Phil's Carpet Warehouse doing shit, but now he's also, you know, going to prison for money laundering. I think Veronica Stanzi, you know, having that career arc. You know,
up and then down.
Gavin Gordon and the other lady are still the WNUF news broadcasters.
The burgers are still famous within the universe.
Yep. Our Ed and Lorraine Warren style characters are still famous. And then, you know, that stinger at the end where they're like, there were bodies found.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's Frank Stewart's body. And I love that the out there broadcast brought up the Frank Stewart stuff, because the entire WNUF universe is kind of like centralized to this tri-state area, mm-hmm. is to, you know, River Hills and stuff like that. So I just thought that was really neat. And I love that just the lore continues to expand and be built on.
I agree. That was good. My burnt out jack-o'-lantern is kind of along the same lines as yours. As in, I wish they would have cut a few of the ads and done another segment. I was honestly hoping for, like, some kind of report, like, during the news segment, maybe, or they could have done, like, a standalone investigation show parody, like a 60 Minutes type thing or something like that, of, like, a recap and, like, speculation in the aftermath of what happened in WNUF. Like, maybe, like, an expose. What really happened to the burgers or something like that?
Yeah, you get hints of that with the book, and it's kind of brought up a little bit in the...
Instead of just her references to it on the talk show at the beginning, I wish they would have done some kind of, like, news segment covering it. Maybe give us a little bit more burger background and lore. Because they were one of the funniest things in the first one for me. So I really wish they would have done some more with that. But, I mean... Like I said, I understand why they might not have, because producing another segment is going to add significantly to the cost.
Right.
But I wish they would have done something like that instead of so many ads, like you said.
Yeah. Brilliant jack-o'-lantern?
My brilliant was kind of in the Halloween spirit of things. I really like how these both have managed to capture the Halloween spirit so well, but in such like completely different time periods, because you wouldn't think... if you're looking at a calendar, 10 years is nothing, you know, the span of 10 years, but culture in the United States changed so much from the 80s to the 90s, and they've pretty much done it seamlessly, like adapting these TV personalities into these new things, like all the ads have kept up with the crazy 90s feel, when they captured the 80s feel so perfectly in the last one. It really feels like they're creating like a living, breathing world that's growing just like the real world.
Mm-hmm. No, I exactly the same thing. Like, final rating. Every episode of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
That one. Oh. That one, in fact. We rate the movie off of one of three categories. Is it candy corny? Is it
six
seasonally
feet
spooky?
Under?
Or is it 6 feet under? There we go. We got it.
We got it all.
Jeff, what do you have?
I gotta go candy corny for this one. I don't think, unless you're really, really scared by the idea of alien life being out there, I don't think you're gonna find this that scary.
No, agreed.
But it is hilarious. It is a masterclass in like recreating a period in time, which the first one was as well. But this one, I honestly think if I had to compare them head to head, I think this captures the 90s like perfectly, whereas the first one captured the 80s like almost perfectly.
I put candy corny. I had everything you just said. This one is just as good, if not better, than the original.
Yes,
which is very hard to do.
Yes, very rare for a sequel to live up to or exceed the first one.
Yeah, but this one nails it. It's incredibly funny. It's all the same. It's all the same heart. It's all the same charm. It's all the same humor as the first movie. Just, you know, moved 10 years into the future.
Yes, Chris LaMartina has made, like, the Empire Strikes Back of Halloween horror movies.
Right, and it's just so dang impressive. And yes, it's very silly. Yes, like you said, it's not, you know, it's not, like, going to be, like, an incredibly scary movie.
It's like, you're not watching this to be scared. You're watching this to be entertained, and it does that in a great and unique way.
Yeah, you're watching this to have a good time, and... I'm sure for WNUF 1, we probably said the most like candy corny movie, and this is the most candy corny movie. Like, this is so funny. If this was our regular rating, you know, these would both be the highest ho ho hilarious you can give.
Yes. I mean, if you get right down to it too, I've seen a lot of people online, Jay, which we'll be getting to, talking about how, it's, you know, it's just a bunch of rehashes of shit that was on TV, you know, three decades ago at this point. And it's like, well, the point is it's unique and it's interesting. And even though you think some people seem to think it's not that creative of an idea, I'm like, well, I've never seen anything else like it. So
the closest we've come is Late Night with the Devil.
Yes. Which even that I would say is kind of in a different vein than this.
Yes. No, absolutely. It's so impressive what has been built and continues to be built in the WNUF universe. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that, like, if you watch it by yourself, I think you'll have fun. And I, you know, when I watched WNUF the first time, I watched it by myself, and it was like, I was actually a little creeped out. I think I mentioned this last year. Like, I was a little creeped out a couple times. I paused it and got up and walked around just because I'm like, oh, this is getting a little intense. This one, I think, has a little less of that, but it's still just as good. It's just as well made. And like I said, it has all the heart of the first movie. Like this is these two back to back are just a thing. At a Halloween party, throw this on. Everyone will have a blast.
Definitely good with friends. Great. I mean, honestly, I think Jay and I, if we've watched both of these together now, and I think that does help the experience because we can laugh about the commercials and stuff together.
Yep. But yeah. But Jeff. Uh-oh, watch out.
Oh, ow, Jay, I'm bleeding.
There's a razor blade in the candy.
It's not good. Oh, God. I thought the cops were just bullshitters.
Maybe we were wrong, and there's a razor blade in our candy.
Oh, we were definitely wrong, Jay. You know, if there's anything this show is great at, it's being wrong.
I mean, we are great at being wrong. Just ask my kids.
Yes, that's true.
So this one I've got, I'm not going to read the whole thing. First off, there's a big recap of the first movie at the beginning of the review, I think. Well, this was a disappointment. As I pinpointed in my review of WNUF Halloween Special, the primary flaw is that the well-intentioned endeavor were an overabundance of excellent fake, if completely awkward and error-exact commercials, too much of a good thing, and a poorly planned and executed ending with an overall failure to exploit its conceit in scary ways.
Hmm.
And then, you know, the dude continues to, you know, he talks about some of the fun things in the movie, but then also kind of keeps coming back to that. And I think my biggest issue with this person's review, like I said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, is just the, you know, his big issues, like, the truth is the ending plays out as more of a black humor joke than a climax of a horror film. Well, it's not supposed to be a horror film. It's supposed to be a TV broadcast.
Yes.
Like the whole issue, like as I was reading that review, and like I said, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a lot of rehashing stuff and stuff we already talked about, but and then rightfully praising some of the good stuff on there. You know, it's just one of those things where I kind of sat there as I'm reading it. And I'm like, okay, but your issue is that like, it's not a movie, but it's not supposed to be a movie. That's, if anything, kind of my issue with Late Night with the Devil, which you know, we'll eventually get to, I'm sure, is that the ending is very much a movie.
Yes.
And this one is so much just a TV show. You're not watching a movie. You're watching what is supposed to be and what is presented as an actual TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that person didn't get it. So
I think you're right, Jay. Ow. Ooh, I got another one, Jay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to lose part of my tongue. This is a new one, Jay. Just recently reviewed on September 9th, 2024.
Oh, wow. That means they probably bought a copy.
Yes, they bought this purposely to watch it for Halloween, Jay. 1.5 stars.
Ooh, yikes.
Honestly, I thought I was clicking on a Halloween mixtape from the 90s. But this is WNUF2. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed after the bomb that was the first one.
The fuck?
This thing so authentically recreates bad local television from the 90s that it becomes tedious very quickly. More than half of the commercials aren't even Halloween themed. Record scratch. What? There's tons of Halloween themed commercials.
No, there's so
I would
so
say
many.
The majority, other than the political ads, because even like in the Carpet Warehouse one, he's doing an alien theme for his first thing.
Right, no, exactly.
But whatever. I guess we could quibble over the percentage of Halloween-themed commercials.
You're right. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's less than half, but it feels like it's way more than half.
I don't think so. I think it's more than half Halloween-themed, but whatever. Leaving that aside, it reminded me of how bored I was watching TV 3 decades ago in a house with no pay cable. The joke is simply that this looks like real lost footage from a defunct public access channel. Which, no, this is nothing like public access TV. This is like network TV.
No, that's supposed to be the whole joke.
Aside from that, there are no actual jokes. There's nothing funny about it, or scary, or entertaining. No, but okay. I mean, there's plenty of funny things. I mean, how can you not find some of those commercials funny?
Right. The chicken fryer or whatever. Yeah. That thing's hilarious.
Little clucker's meal. Need a little clucker meal for these little cluckers, Jay.
The father of seven who's become a over-the-road trucker so he doesn't have to be at home.
Impregnated by a family member? We want to know about it.
And throw your baby shower.
Yeah. It's an interesting experiment that perfectly continues the aesthetic set up in the first WNUF movie. Sure, but I grew restless trying to make it all the way through to the end. This is really just for stoners who want to space out or are simply too lazy to hit the remote. Can't really say I enjoyed any of it. It has the same feeling as when a director makes a bad movie, quotation marks, on purpose. That hardly ever works. This thing is just kind of irritating. And five people found that helpful. Whereas the five-star review above it, only one person found helpful.
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
Yep. So, you know, this is the majority message. This is Letterboxd, by the way.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't see how you get that out of this. I really can't.
I think the thing that cracks me up, and it was mentioned on yours and it was mentioned on mine. I think the thing that kind of, like, more than anything makes me kind of, like, smile in a way is they admit that it does its job. They admit that it feels like a 90s TV broadcast full with all the bad commercials and all like kind of the silly over the top goofs and shit like that. Like they admit that it feels era accurate, but then they're like, but I don't like that. That's how it feels, which is a weird thing. Then why'd you watch it? Like,
well, Jay, you'd be interested to know that Chris LaMartina actually replied to this review.
Amazing.
He highlighted the line, honestly, I thought I was clicking on a Halloween mixtape from the 90s, but this is WNUF 2. And he said, wait, where did you click on it? It's not streaming anywhere. You mean when you bought it? Sorry about that. And though this was his reply to Chris's reply. I found the DVD in the used bin at Amiibo Records in Los Angeles and was totally fooled by the packaging. I did not look it up before I clicked play on the remote, where I clicked it. So excellent job on fooling me. I got tricked instead of treated. I admire the craft because the commercials are so authentic that I believe they came from the 90s. But I was seriously expecting a mixtape of old crazy Halloween clips and commercials, like that bootleg tape Mike Patton used to trade with people. My mind was not set in WNUF 2 mode. The first movie had me baffled because I never heard of it, and I thought it looked too real to be a fake. So you succeeded in your craft. Don't be bothered by my one-star review. Good news, I took the DVD back to Amoeba. I guess that's the name of the store.
All right. I think that's what they said in the first. Say,
I didn't get. I was making sure I'm not getting that wrong. Apparently it's called Amoeba Records.
Oh, very cool.
And I traded it for Devo's 12-inch megamix of the Dr. Detroit theme song. So it's back in the world waiting for a real fan to enjoy, someone to discover, or another dupe to get totally tricked.
Way to go, Chris. And once again, admitting that Chris did his job.
Yes, so basically he's saying that, while you did your job perfectly, I don't care for it because I have a stick up my ass, basically.
Oh, man.
So apparently the real review is that this guy can't have fun with anything, which I have spoken about before. It's a growing epidemic on the internet, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Of people who can't enjoy anything.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think you and I talked about it, the amount of people complaining about Abigail, and you were like, you and I were like, that's the most fun I've had in the movie in years.
Yes. Like, it's like, it's a great, it's not supposed, it's like people think, oh, every movie must be a masterpiece. And if I don't find it personally amazing, then it's dog shit.
I mean, based off some of the early reviews I'm seeing for Terrifier 3, I have a feeling we're gonna, you know, you and I are gonna have a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Based off the amount of people who are like, I hated it. Like,
yeah. Oh, well, you know, I've harped on this a million times. The audience is probably sick of hearing about it, but the hate group that is formed around John Carpenter's movies, I will not ever get over. It's like, this is not, you're hating on something that is objectively a good movie, like The Thing. They're like, The Thing is fucking trash. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, Jeff, it's time to take our villain?
Yes.
Question mark? And put him on the trick-or-treat list amongst our other villains.
Well, what do you think?
It's gotta be Ding, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
He convinced a bunch of people to commit suicide, but in turn he committed suicide himself.
And he committed suicide himself, but he was also tricked into doing it by the prank that the studio played on him.
But it felt like they were going to do it anyway.
I mean, he seemed like he was going to do it, but I honestly think if they hadn't pulled the prank, he probably would have waited and done it at a different time, because he seems to enjoy being a cult leader.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It's hard to say.
I was going to put Ding, and I was going to say lower than Harvest, the bad guys from the first WNUF, because while I think he killed more people, he also killed himself.
Yep.
All for nothing.
Actually, Jay, there's a secret villain that we need to talk about. And I think you know who I'm talking about. It's the United States government that's hiding the truth, Jay. They're out there. The Grays, the Long Men. You know, Slenderman's not fake, Jay. He's real.
Slenderman is the love child of a Long Man and a Gray.
Exactly. And a reptilian overlord like Hillary Clinton is going to come and kill you, Jay, because you won't stand up to the government. And I think the government should be at the top of the list for worst villain of all time.
Jeff, all you need to throw in there now is like, and they're making the Sylvanias trans now.
Exactly.
Anytime, like I see, like, or you know, what's the joke you and I have said, like, or make the Yuletide gay? You hear that? They're making the Yuletide gay now. They're turning the Yuletides gay. If only what's his name was that funny.
Bonus, Jay. I have a 2-star review for you.
Oh, all right.
It's a quick one. The choice to embrace verisimilitude. Oh boy, somebody went to college. Which, for our non-college folks out there, or, you know, people who just don't want to be an asshole in pretentious conversation, that means how close of a reproduction it was to the real thing. In one aspect alone, American TV having commercial breaks every 3 minutes was wise, because the ads were by far the best part of this ill-conceived sequel to the found footage gem. So, apparently he loved WNUF 1 and hated this one.
Oh, weird.
Which I do find very weird. The original WNUF special mixed format satire with actual spooky moments surprisingly well. This was an hour and 25 minutes of fluff leading up to nothing. The ads are good, though. I'm pretty sure this used AI assets like a very similar misfire, Late Night with the Devil. All right, well, we can write this moron off, Jay.
A movie that was made before all the AI assets thing became really even a thing.
Yes.
Never mind all the practical effects, and like, well, we know people that were literally involved with the effects in this movie.
Chris replied to this one, LOL, we made this before AI was even available, but thanks for buying a copy.
You know, Chris, if you listen, which I mean, we have a link to Chris LaMartina, come on the show just so we can talk about how great we can blow smoke up your butt for like an hour and a half.
And also, can we stop criticizing Late Night with the Devil for one AI photo that they included? And I mean, people, you're going to have to get used to it. Our corporate overlords are embracing AI. It's going to happen.
Yeah, as much as, I mean, we can fight against it all we want, but unfortunately, I mean, it seems like they want it to happen regardless of if it's successful or not.
You know what it reminds me of, all the anti-AI stuff? It's like my dad. I'm never going to carry a cell phone. Cell phones are fucking trash. It's stupid. You know, what do I need a computer in my fucking pocket for? Yeah, you see how well that worked out for people.
Yeah.
It's like progress is going to march forward whether people want it to or not.
And, you know, and granted, like, I think, you know, certainly I think the cell phone thing, yeah, there's more maybe good than bad with cell phones.
Maybe.
Certainly the AI thing. Like, I think a lot of people recognize it's bad and it's wrong. But, you know, like, so many of these major corporations have put all their money into fucking AI.
I was going to say
that unless, like, we all just stop using it, it's just going to stick around.
Much like the phone, Jay, because now they can advertise to you 24/7. You always have your face buried in it. The upside on the profit margin of AI is way too much for them to let it go.
Yeah, they've sunk too much money into it, so they're gonna stick with it.
They've sunk too much into it, and think about how much money it saves them in the long run.
You can type a Facebook post, and then you can put like, have AI write this for me.
Mm-hmm.
which is insane.
I mean, you've already seen it in commercials now, in ads online, too. You can tell it's all AI-generated crap.
Well, and then isn't there that AI movie coming out from Lifetime?
Oh, and they've been AI writing articles for years now. If you look at the bottom of news articles, they'll be like, this was transcribed by AI.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. So, we're doomed.
But yeah, civilization doomed. Anyway, happy spooktacular.
Well, Jeff, it's time to start eating some seasonal Halloween candy in a segment we like to call...
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
You ready, buddy?
Yeah, I guess. Here we go. Let's see what Jay's got for us this time.
So I tried to theme this one.
Okay.
It's all... Because it was a 90s movie, a 90s style movie, kind of a flashback. I tried to pick things that you and I would have had for snacks in the 90s.
Ah, okay. Did you give me some Gulaid?
Oh, you know I got some Gulaid.
Oh, sick.
Or as my youngest daughter calls it, potion juice, because the Kool-Aid man riding a witch's broom is carrying a little bottle of potion.
He is. Kool-Aid tastes like shit, Jay. Gulaid is where it's at.
I got some Welch's Juicefuls Monster Splash flavor.
Oh, yeah.
I got some Gushers. I think they're they're Halloween themed. I think they're just regular Gushers.
Oh, if we're doing 90s, it's got to be Gushers.
But I think it's like Strawberry Splash. Or I think it was called Screamberry Splash or something like that. But I think normally it's just the regular Gushers. And then I got some Wednesday Addams Gushers as well.
Oh, boy. All right, well, I mean, I already know I love Gulaid. Even if it tasted like trash, I would still drink it because it's Gulaid.
As soon as I heard Gulaid was coming back, I'm like, oh, Gulaid's going to go on the spooktacular.
Oh, my God. Just as delicious as the day it was first brewed, Jay.
My understanding is this is a different flavor. There are two technical different flavors of Gulaid or something like that. And this is one of them, and then there's another one.
Brewberry. Excellent. Don't know what it is, Jay, but when you put it in this spooky Halloween-themed package, it just tastes so much sweeter.
It's fantastic. It's so good.
It's like how an Ecto cooler is just so much better than the base drink, Jay. God, I love this Gulaid. Now, damn it, Jay. Now I'm going to have to go out and get a case of Gulaid.
You're welcome.
Well, true. I could justify it to my wife. Be like, it's all Jay Logsdon's fault. She'll be like, I knew it. That Jay Logsdon is a terrible influence.
Yeah, always up to no good when Jeff hangs out with me.
All right, we're going to do these Wednesday Gushers, Jay. You ready for this?
I am.
Let's see what we got. Oh, they're all identical.
Okay. I think they are all the same flavor.
All right. Well... This might get me canceled, Jay, but Wednesday Addams tastes pretty good.
Gross.
It is a good flavor, though. I like it.
I'm kind of torn. I don't know what I like. I don't think it's bad.
No, it's not bad.
I don't know. To me, it's just kind of bland.
I like it. Got a little bit of a berry bite to it. Tell that's what they were going for. Which one are you going to do next?
I'm going to do the regular Gusher. See how that compares.
Okay.
I guess I said regular Gusher. I don't know that these are regular Gushers. That was just my theory.
Yeah, they don't say any special names. I'm guessing they're the regular flavors. Oh, they're tropical.
Yeah, I think. But it's like the packaging is a little different. And on the front it said tropical Screamberry or something like that.
They are good.
The Gushers are very gushery.
They are. All right, we're going in on the fruit snacks, people. It's time for a juiceful. Which is Welch's attempt to rip off the Gusher.
Essentially, yes. But these ones, I think I got a Frankenstein right here.
Yep. I got a skeleton. Looks like he's got blood inside.
Hells yeah, I got one too. It looks awesome. Mm. That's so cool.
They're fruit snacks. They taste good. Looks like we got pumpkin, ghost, the Frankenstein one, and the skeleton.
I think all of mine were orange. I think all of my flavors were orange.
All of mine were grape.
It's really weird. I mean, they weren't bad, but I'm like, oh, I would have liked some more. I would like some alternate flavors here, guys. Well, do you want to rank them?
I mean, we have to.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, Wednesday Gushers, probably the bottom.
Yeah, I think so, too. I thought, like I said, I thought they were a little bland.
Yeah, well, I would say the Fruit Snacks next, probably. Then the standard Gushers, and then, of course, my did you have any doubt, Jay, that the number one was going to be Gulaid?
Oh, Gulaid was number one with a bullet. Same for me. Absolutely the same for me. I think I would do, I think I would do Wednesday Gushers bottom. I think I would then do regular Gushers and then the Fruitfuls, but it's pretty close. Mm. I just like the way Welch's Fruit Snacks taste.
Yeah, I could see that.
So far that's where we're at. We'll, move on next week and see what more.
See what more gushes out, Jay.
Gross.
God, Jay. Wednesday tastes amazing and it's gushing all over me.
See what more Halloween candy I bought months ago and has been sitting in my cupboard.
Nice and stale. Mmm.
If you want to get in touch with us, tell us how bad the podcast is. Send us an email, horrortheholidays@gmail.com. I got a weird, message request. I think it was on Twitter, and the person was like, I want to do a collab with you. I have no idea who this person is. I have this great idea for a collab. How can I get in touch with you? And I wanted to be like, we say our email at the end of every single episode.
Every single episode, we tell you how to get in contact with us.
But I also thought it was a bot, so I just didn't respond. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with us on social media, we are at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4, holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us a comment. One of the best ways to get a hold of us. Let's say, Jeff and Jay Fat, quit crinkling your packages into the microphone. That kind of shit.
Stop eating and drinking into the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying here. We're fat guys.
Exactly. We can only do so much.
You want us to record a podcast and not eat into the microphone? What next?
You
want
Jay,
the podcast to be good? one of the fastest ways to spread word about the podcast, leave a review on your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars. Let us know how bad the show is. We'll only read your reviews if they're 5-star reviews.
I mean, obviously, we've hit it 100 times at this point. I mean, we're not going to pay attention to 1-star reviews. Who's got time for that bullshit?
Yeah, we only want 5-star reviews, regardless of if they're good or bad. But that's the way to tell other people about this podcast. If you hate the podcast, tell someone you hate about the podcast. That way they might have to listen to it. If you love the podcast, tell a friend if you think they would like it.
Oh, and leave more bad reviews of movies on Google, please.
Yeah.
Leave your hilarious bad takes so we can make fun of them.
Yeah, go read that review of Elf that I left. That was just a copy-paste from a review of a different movie, but it kind of fit. Also, we're happy to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Yes.
They are currently fundraising for the Red Sled Foundation. Selling an ornament of some kind. I'm going to put the information in all of our social media places.
Sounds good.
How to contact people, how to get involved with that. If they would like to order an ornament, I believe it says something like Kringle Crew on the ornament. It's got a picture of Santa.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty cool. I want to say it's $25 and all proceeds go to the Red Sled Foundation.
Jay and I made an appearance recently on Totally Rad Christmas, which is another show on the network you guys should check out. It's pretty good.
Yep. It's like an 80s era Christmas special thing, and we talked about one of Jeff's favorite movies, Deadly Games, AKA Dial Code Santa Claus.
And if the 80s thing puts you off, don't worry. It's a long decade. It's like from 76 to 94.
Yeah. If you like WNUF 2, you'll like Totally Rad Christmas. If you like WNUF 1, you'll definitely like Totally Rad Christmas.
Indeed.
Other than that, I can't think of much else.
I think that's a pretty successful first episode of the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
I agree. I think it is. And next week we will be in the first Monday in October, yes. We'll be talking about the third Saturday. The third Saturday in October, part 5.
Oh, and in case anyone in the audience isn't in on the joke yet, the reason I keep repeating the title is because Jay has to add in a sound effect every time I do.
Yep, but only when you do it.
Well, it's because obviously, Jay, I am the most spooky one.
That you are. That you are. we'll see you next week. As the spooktacular rolls on.
I'm going to grab my Gulaid and head out.
All right. And I'm so excited for third Saturday, October 5.
You know what I'm excited for, Jay? October 10th, Thursday, when you come up and we watch Terrifier 3.
Yeah, that's coming too. All right. Well, anyway, we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
In the crib, late at night. Monsters grooving, what a fright. The goblins ask, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with grooves in the flow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash.
The horror for the holidays, 2024 Halloween Spooktacular Garbage Day Edition.
What, I wish there was like, I wish there was just a line of like Dr. Loomis saying Garbage Day.
Yes.
Just like in like, I don't know, Halloween 4.
Oh, well, you know what, Jay? We'll get that AI voice. I'll get a Dr. Loomis AI voice and he can go.
No, see, I don't want that.
Garbage Day.
I don't want that.
Well, you're getting it, Jay.